This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
New voices in your head.
It's Radio Free Radio.
The F Word, Vancouver's explicitly feminist radio show, filling your head with naughty feminist ideas since 2007.
The F Word is a syndicated show produced in Vancouver, BC, Canada at CFRO 102.7 FM, Vancouver's cooperative radio station. And every Monday from noon to 1, we broadcast live from the downtown east side of Vancouver, unceded Coast Salish territory. I'm Nicole Deegan here in the studio with Ellie Gordon-Marshall. We also want to give an explicit content warning for today's show. We're talking about controversial topics and using some explicit language. So if there are any young folks around or anybody who would be sensitive to the topic, this would be a good time to turn off your radio and maybe listen later on our podcast. We're podcasted through rabble.ca and on our website at feminisms.org. In the last week, there's been a lot of discussion about rape jokes and what is appropriate to joke about. Today we'll be talking about comedy and feminism, which some people see as natural enemies. I think that perspective is really missing the point and what comedy can really be about. Comics are often very political and have really strong opinions and ideas about social issues, which drive their jokes and rally their audiences.
Yeah, I think actually for me, in fact, some of the funniest people I know are feminists. Yeah, sorry, my levels were so high while I was saying that. Just driving the point home, people. I think though that part of that is that humor is used as a survival mechanism for people that are part of an oppressed class. And I know that doing frontline work here in the downtown east side, I see that as well a lot with the folks that live in this community and the workers ourselves as well. So I think it's funny to even suggest that feminists, you know, women who are acutely aware of wide-ranging gender inequality would be an enemy of humor is just desperately false. But as you mentioned, comics themselves can be very political in nature, and it's been noted time and time again that, especially during times of repression, underground kind of anti-establishment comedy does soar, and I think right now there's a couple really good examples of that going on in Canada. There are so many comics and blogs and Tumblrs devoted to making fun of conservative Toronto Mayor Rob Ford and also our Prime Minister Stephen Harper. One of my favorite being the Tumblr that's Stuff Stephen Harper Does to Seem Human. That's one of my favorites. So comedy and humor are not the enemy of feminists and progressives, but the use of comedy as a tool to further harm and alienate marginalized groups is a problem and something that we will speak out about.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think it's so much that any particular topic in comedy is inappropriate, but rather the way the joke is constructed reveals the politics and the value system of the comic. In the recent case with the rape joke, it reveals his ignorance or, at worst, his misogyny. A joke could be made that leaves survivors feeling validated or supported while making men reflect on their own behaviors or rape culture. And I think that a comic's jokes will naturally reveal where they stand on things. And as you'll hear me speak with Aaron Graham about this later in the show today, and I assume that some comics are aware of their values and use comedy to make a point consciously, whereas others may not be even conscious of the value messages that come across to their audience.
Yeah, and as you know, most feminists know, and progressive people, there's a big gap in terms of diverse representation in, I mean, all aspects of the entertainment industry, but this is especially the case for comedy, I think, even at the local level. So if the vast majority of comics that get airtime are privileged, straight, white dudes that are ignorant about the reality of rape and violence against women, when they joke about it, as you mentioned, it reveals where they stand on things, which is usually in a big pile of ignorance. So on top of all this, what happens, in my opinion, is that we have this kind of weird socially enforced armor that we give comedians to repel criticism around jokes they may make about, you know, sexism, racism, gay homophobia jokes, gay homophobia jokes, because since they're on the stage talking about society and people and culture, then we kind of allow this kind of fair game for, you know, everything is fair game for these so-called experts. And I was thinking about it, and I feel like the comedy industry is only paralleled by the sports industry when it comes to the amount of rampant sexism that is socially acceptable. And Jamie Kilstein, who's a comedian and co-host of Citizen Radio, even said recently on MSNBC how surprised he was that so many liberal and progressive comics that he admires actually came out and defended Daniel Tosh's recent rape joke. So, and you know, it's not only the male comics that support sexist jokes.
Yeah, well, feminists are told they aren't funny and can't take a joke, and perhaps as compensation, I think some female comics and even many women in general are overly tolerant towards sexism in comedy.
I think part of it is, and to relate it back to the sports industry, which apparently I'm doing a lot, because I think a lot about the sports industry anyways. One of the reasons we see so many female athletes posing for Maxim or doing nude calendars or whatever is that there's this extreme amount of pressure to compensate for the fact that women athletes are encroaching on traditional male domain, you know, i.e. physical competition. And the compensation is the return to comfortable status quo by reinforcing traditional inferiority in the female athletes by making them consumable sex objects for men. So for women comics, they can go the sex object route, or they can be one of the bros by making sexist jokes themselves, or at the very least defending them. I think it takes a tremendous amount of courage and confidence to go against that tide in these spaces. I don't actually think I could do it if I was a comedian. And, you know, one of my best friends from high school is a comedian, so I've been to tons of comedy nights over the years, and I can honestly say it's a rare event that there isn't at least one horrendously sexist joke made during a night of comedy. So it's really not surprising that women comedians don't speak out about this. There was a really great article by Lindy West in Jezebel recently, who is a very, very funny writer. And it was titled, "Hey Man, I'm Funnier Than You." And she talked about this in this blog or in her article. And what she said was, "Men are told from birth that their ideas are just as important as their bodies. Men are encouraged to be bold and loud, throw stuff at the wall, and see what sticks over and over again. And that's exactly where great comedy comes from. Comedy clubs are almost always run by men, and they're safe spaces for men. Any female comics who are bold enough to show up have to sit through 87 shitty, you know, quote-unquote edgy jokes about how they deserve to be raped and murdered for not liking video games enough." And then she goes on to write, "A completely run-of-the-mill example I heard recently. Last night, I brought this girl home, but she was being really loud during sex, so I told her, shh, you don't want this rape to turn into a murder." Now, if you think that sounds like a really extreme example, this is me talking, not Lindy West. It's definitely not from all of the comedy shows that I've been to. And so, you know, not surprising, this kind of talk really normalizes rape and violence against women rather than challenging it.
So one way to resist is to support the great comics out there who do buck the status quo and use comedy in a different way. There are so many great comedians who use humor very effectively to point out inequities and poor logic and injustices. And later in my interview with Erin, she mentions This Hour Has 22 Minutes and all the great comedy work of Mary Walsh and Kathy Jones, which is definitely a show that I'm a big fan of. And there's also the left-wing American comedians Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert, who use comedy to criticize as well as to rally support for political causes really overtly and very successfully. So on the show today, we're going to be playing clips from Sarah Silverman, Wanda Sykes, and Margaret Cho. And we're also speaking with local comedians Erin Graham and Vanessa Lever. Erin Graham is a stand-up comedian here in Vancouver, and she talked with me the other day about feminist comedy.
Erin.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Is it true that women aren't funny?
No, it is not true that women are not funny. In fact, feminists, of all women, are the funniest of all.
I agree.
Yeah, yeah. You know what my crackpot theory is? People who are oppressed and have an analysis of that oppression are extremely funny. Look at Canada. Feminists, Aboriginal people, Newfies, hysterical.
Do you think that female comics approach writing jokes differently because of that? For example, in their choice of topics or content?
I don't know if all female comics like work in their femaleness. I think it's inevitable. We're women, so it's part of our comedy. I think that women make jokes about femaleness and maleness and the power imbalances. But I also think that feminists in particular will have a critique that they'll work into comedy. I don't go to many shows, but I notice that when I'm at shows, the men always talk about their penises, and they talk about it in a way of like kind of this arrogant pride and look at my penis, isn't it funny, isn't it cute, I have a penis. And women talk about they do more self-deprecating stuff. So men use it still in the jokes as an assertion of their power. Women use their femaleness, like being premenstrual, like they're always referring to being premenstrual as a syndrome or a disorder, like an illness, or they talk about their being fat. More inexperienced comics, I think the default is self-deprecating.
Well, I was wondering about that with the recent controversy about rape jokes. I think it's not so much the topic that's inappropriate, but the way the joke is constructed reveals the politics and the value system of the comic. And I was imagining that it might come naturally that your jokes reveal where you stand on things, and that probably some people are more aware of their values and would use comedy to make certain points consciously, whereas others might not be conscious of their value messages that come across to their audience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. And I think the thing about being a woman in comedy and having a feminist analysis is that you have an eye to where the power is and take aim at that, the powerful. So in terms of rape jokes, if someone who's looking at the power structures and wants to communicate a critique of the power will take aim at the rapist and mock the rapist and the system that rapist is upholding, whereas the guy that, don't remember his name, Tosh?
Yeah.
Something Tosh? He didn't do that. It was a threat, thinly disguised as a joke. It was mocking a heckler who was a woman who didn't have, you know, the same kind of power that he did. So it's cheap and not funny. Rape jokes can be funny if they're directed towards the rapist and the power structures that rape promotes and protects.
One of the criticisms of feminists who are critiquing that kind of so-called humor, or some of the things that are really funny, but they just don't reflect an understanding of other people's lived reality or good politics. Feminists are accused of not being funny and not being able to take a joke, and I think that sometimes some female comics will compensate for that by being very tolerant towards sexism, and I just wonder about that relationship. Is there room for feminist comics to even just use comedy to be openly critical of sexism?
Oh, yeah, for sure. You get a little more nuanced and radical as you get older, I think. Think I do. I hope so anyway. And one of the questions that you sent me is, do you incorporate being female into your routine? And then, like I said, it's integral to my material. I get pissed off about the male comics always talking about their penises. And then when we're backstage, if there's a bunch of men and a couple of women, they will pay no attention to the women unless the women are conventionally beautiful and young and stuff. So I go right under the radar, but it just makes me mad. So I'll work that into my comedy as a critique, and I'll talk about how much fun it is to be premenstrual, for instance. And I'll talk about my unborn children making a ruckus whenever I pass through the kitchen, the appliance section, and I'll say, you know, don't worry, I don't even own a turkey baster. And so sometimes that it's fun to like turn that on its head and talk about being premenstrual as a time of power and a time of like it's something to be proud of and to embrace, without saying, you know, empower or embrace or any of that kind of bullshit language. But and it does make and it's women find it funny. Some men find it funny too, but sometimes they get a little, you know, squeamish.
I think that people in the audience are expected to tolerate a certain amount of discomfort with comedy, right? Like, I mean, there's an element of challenging and making people uncomfortable that can be a part of somebody's jokes. Comedy seems to me like something that really has potentially a lot of social power. People have a big reaction to jokes, and it's either a really positive reaction or a negative reaction. We're affected by it, and I wonder about all the comics that are just kind of unconsciously perpetuating social norms, and how powerful it is for feminists to be able to reach an audience and not ignore women like a lot of male comics do, who don't even kind of see them as the audience they're writing their jokes for, but instead incorporating things women really will relate to into their humor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard. Like women are deliberately excluded from the mainstream entertainment world, and if you're a feminist, that's, you know, that's like there's not much avenue. I'm currently working with a friend of mine at UBC on a comedy project, like kind of comedy in the academy, and we're constructing a comic dialogue that we're going to present as a paper. We're trying to bring up a critique of the university as exclusionary. But we're not excluded. I mean, we're in the university, so we're building dialogue that points up the ridiculousness of academics, and also the structural inequality built into the university, and we draw on being working class women, feminist, and having had an experience as political organizers as well, to construct this kind of this critique, and it's an interesting process.
Is there something about writing politically progressive, controversial comedy that is a particular approach, or do you think that that's just kind of naturally what you want to talk about if you're aware?
I think it's kind of what we naturally want to talk about if we're aware, and you know, you have to develop a sense of humor if you're going to be heard and effective and not go crazy. If you just let the awfulness of inequality and the increasing divide between the haves and the have-nots, and the proliferation of pornographic images and the hypersexualization of girls and all this other stuff that goes on, you'd just curl up into a ball and stuff. So you got to pick something, pick a small thing, and blow it up and make it big and find the funny in it that'll help people to think and expand their horizons about what it means to be fully human, what it means to live in this society that sets us up against each other. Like, it's not individual. People are good. But we're in a position of reproducing the systems of inequality, because that's where we are. That's what we know. But the job of the comic, even though it is often used to punish and to keep the oppressed in their place and to diminish the potential of stereotypical other, it can also be used to show the ridiculous side of the powerful and to incite people to expect better for themselves and to hopefully to take action in collaboration with others. Like, I'm thinking of this hour has 22 minutes, and Mary Walsh and Kathy Jones. And
I love This Hour is 22 Minutes. What a great example. I wasn't even thinking of that. I was thinking more of Jon Stewart and Stephen Colbert. But of course, Mary Walsh, I mean, her work's been incredible. I love that whole point about just using it to connect around oppression and, you know, point out power and privilege. And like comedy at its best, right? Used as a tool to do something good.
Yeah, and it's very powerful, and like anything powerful, it can be used for evil as well as good. But why settle? Why not? Why not shoot for the best?
Thanks for taking the time to talk with me, Erin.
Oh, you're welcome, Nicole. Thanks for inviting me.
So, we're going to play a clip of Sarah Silverman, who is a fairly well-known comedian, and she actually made a joke about making rape jokes on the same night, coincidentally, as the Daniel Tosh incident. So we're about to play that.
Yeah, we think it's interesting to listen to it and kind of try to gauge whether it comes across differently than what Daniel Tosh did and why it comes across differently. We also want to give an explicit content warning for today's show. We're talking about controversial topics and using some explicit language. So if there are any young folks around or anybody who would be sensitive to the topic, this would be a good time to turn off your radio and maybe listen later on our podcast. We're podcasted through rabble.ca and on our website at feminisms.org. So this is Sarah Silverman.
I need more rape jokes. I really do. Rape is... I love that some people apply to that. Needless to say, rape, the most heinous crime imaginable.
Yes.
Seems it's a comic's dream, though. Because it seems when you do rape jokes that like the material is so dangerous and edgy. And the truth is, it's like the safest area to talk about in comedy. That's the trick. Because who's going to complain about a rape joke? Rape victims? They don't even report rape. I mean, they're traditionally not complainers. That's cold. Like, the worst maybe thing that could happen is, and this would, I would feel terrible, like after a show, maybe somebody comes up to you and is like, look, I'm a victim of rape. And as a victim of rape, I just want to say I thought that joke was inappropriate and insensitive and totally my fault, and I am so sorry. That's right. Let's take them down a notch. They've had it too good for too long. Am I right? Obviously, not that I need to backtrack and qualify this, I think you all know me by now, but obviously no woman is asking to be raped. You know, I do think there are some women who are asking to be motorboated.
So that was Sarah Silverman, if you didn't know, performing a joke about rape jokes, coincidentally on the same night as Daniel Tosh made that horrible threat at the woman in his audience. So that is an interesting joke, and it's interesting to hear the audience reaction. I think it's still up to debate whether that's a really successful joke about rape culture or whether it just further desensitizes us. But if you have an opinion about it, and I'm sure you do, you can write us about it, or maybe comment on our wall under the link for today's show. So if you don't like us on Facebook, you probably should, under the F Word Media Collective. And also check out, we've done a couple blog posts about comedy over the years, and our website again is feminisms.org. And right about now, Nicole's going to introduce the next interview.
Vanessa Lever is a theater arts graduate of Grant MacEwan University in Edmonton. She's an active member of Vancouver's stand-up comedy scene and a writer and performer of sketch comedy. I spoke with her over the weekend about being a female comic.
I saw you recently at the Ivory Tavern in Vancouver, and in a lineup that featured Brent Butt, you definitely seemed like you had a lot of experience on stage. How long have you been performing comedy?
I have been doing comedy just over about a year and a half-ish, but I have a theater background, so being on stage and performing in front of people, I'm pretty comfortable doing that anyways.
How do you come up with ideas?
Usually I just try and jam on things that I see in everyday life that kind of inspire me. So if it's something weird that happens to me during the day or something that I see regularly that I'm just confused about or something that makes me think or feel something, basically.
Do you find that there are a lot of female comics that you are in shows with, or is the industry mostly men?
I would definitely say it's male-dominated, yeah. There are a good handful of ladies, though, in Vancouver that I see regularly. They're all pretty good. I'm pretty lucky in Vancouver to have some really talented ladies.
Are there ways to make sure that you're going to go see female comics if somebody was interested in finding some women comedians here?
There are all-lady shows.
Is the tone and the environment at those events really different?
It is a little bit different. I couldn't really put my finger on exactly what it is. The humor seems to be more, generally, it's a little more like just lighthearted, good time sort of stuff. I don't know. It seems that sometimes in the comedy business, people, just because it's mostly male dominated, that there's a lot of jokes that can kind of get depressing or negative, but that could be in anything. But I find with ladies' comedies, sometimes it's just a little more fun. Like a ladies-only show, it's really just a fun time to kind of, I don't know, it's fun and supportive and yeah, mutually funny for everyone there.
Is it mostly women in the audience?
No, I think it's normally, even ladies-only shows, they have a pretty good mix in the crowd.
Do you think that women joke as much about topics that can be offensive as men do? Because I know a lot of men get attention for making really offensive comments, like how recently in the news there's been a lot of attention on rape jokes. It definitely, when I've seen comedy, guys tend to really push a limit around sexism. And do you think that that's different when women are the comics?
I do think that. I've been just working on an article for my website about guys' humor versus women's humor. And I think that men, generally speaking, tend to go for the most kind of offensive, edgy kind of stuff and like to take that kind of a risk, whereas I think women sometimes tend to dig deeper into things and kind of find comedy on multiple levels as opposed to going for the kind of shock value of an initial joke that could be offensive like that.
Is it the case that when you're coming up with jokes, you are trying to push the envelope and provoke? Do you look more at finding common ground with people?
It's, I think, a little bit of both. It's just, I think we all kind of can find certain shocking things funny, but I think it's definitely a lot more on the common ground idea, because common ground is like things that we find funny that everyone will find funny is more universal, right? So it's just you'll reach a greater audience and get a better response that way.
Do you feel that people respond to you differently since you do stand up? Are people kind of curious about what that's like?
Yeah, actually.
It seems like a pretty daring thing to do.
Yeah, it's, I get asked about it all the time, I guess, when it's brought up and people ask what it's like and if it's scary. And I think it's like, I don't know, it's like anything. If you're used to it, then it's what you're used to. I would be terrified to be a doctor in an emergency room. So it's all relative.
Well, thanks for talking with me.
No problem. Thank you.
This next piece we're playing is by Wanda Sykes. It's about the detachable vagina, and it's a piece that's been recently used a lot as an example of a joke about sexual assault that doesn't generally offend women. Just kind of interesting. So we're going to be playing that now. It's about 2 minutes long.
But it's just so much pressure on us, guys. You don't understand. It's just, you know, and even as little girls, we're taught, you know, we have something that everybody wants. You got to protect it. You got to be careful. You got to cherish it. And that's a lot of pressure. And I would like a break. You know what make my life so much easier? Ladies, wouldn't you love this? Wouldn't it be wonderful if our pussies were detachable? Let that marinate a little bit. Just think about that. Wouldn't it be great if you could just leave your pussy at home sometimes? Just think of the freedom that you will have. You get home from work, it's getting a little dark outside. You're like, oh, I would like to go for a jog, but it's getting too dark. Oh, I just leave it at home. And you out jogging. Yeah, it could be pitch black. You still out there just jogging, enjoying yourself. You know, if some crazy guy jumps out the bush like, ah, you're like, I left it at home. Sorry, I have absolutely nothing of value on me. I'm pussyless. There's so much freedom. You can do anything. You know, you can go visit a professional ball player's hotel room at 2 o'clock in the morning. Sex? Look, my pussy's not even in the building. I'm just here to talk about your jump shot. Now look, you gotta bend your knees when you're at the free throw line.
That was Wanda Sykes, and we're gonna play a clip by Margaret Cho. And at this point, I'm going to say that there will be explicit language and possibly profanity. So if that's not appropriate for whoever's in the room, please visit our podcast later at rabble.ca. And we shall be listening to Margaret Cho. And the clip is called "Our Revolution is Long Overdue."
And I have self-esteem, which is pretty amazing, because I'm probably somebody who wouldn't necessarily have a lot of self-esteem, as I am considered a minority. And if you are a woman, if you're a person of color, if you are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, if you're a person of size, if you're a person of intelligence, if you're a person of integrity, then you are considered a minority in this world. And it's going to be really hard to find messages of self-love and support anywhere, especially women's and gay men's culture. It's all about how you have to look a certain way, or else you're worthless. You know when you look in the mirror and you think, oh, I'm so fat, I'm so old, I'm so ugly. Don't you know that's not your authentic self, but that is billions upon billions of dollars of advertising, magazines, movies, billboards, all geared to make you feel shitty about yourself so that you will take... So that you will take your hard-earned money and spend it at the mall on some turnaround cream that doesn't turn around shit. When you don't have self-esteem, you will hesitate before you do anything in your life. You will hesitate to go for the job you really want to go for. You will hesitate to ask for a raise. You will hesitate to call yourself an American. You will hesitate to report a rape. You will hesitate to defend yourself when you are discriminated against because of your race, your sexuality, your size, your gender. You will hesitate to vote. You will hesitate to dream. For us, to have self-esteem is truly an act of revolution. And our revolution is long overdue.
The F Word, Vancouver's explicitly feminist radio show, effing up the airwaves since 2007.